This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here again, second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We're talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. We express our opinions here on a lot of different things, and we hope to have you run the show this hour again, and you choose the topic. We'll talk about it. I brought up a couple of things, and we'll see what happens. Now, let's see what Tony – what's Tony's topic? Did he give us one? Oh, Tony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, hey, Alan. I know you don't read the Sun much.
Not much, no.
But a week or so ago, they wrote a pretty nice article about this Wounded Warriors project, where they're taking disabled service members out to deer hunt, bow hunt, and it was actually a pretty good article. So
now yeah. where was this located?
In Maryland.
I understand, but do you know where?
You mean in the paper?
No. I mean, where were these guys hunting? Do you remember the name of the project or the group?
It was part of the Wounded Warriors project. I'm not sure which part of it.
Yeah. See, the reason I asked that, I've been involved in that program for a number of years and understand some of the Wounded Warrior projects out there. The one program that's going on right now, as a matter of fact. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. The folks I'm affiliated with support in some minor way usually is the No Person Left Behind division of Operation Second Chance. And this group has been taking these guys deer hunting here for years here in Maryland, particularly on our farm out, the Kittleman farm out in Howard County. I don't know if that was mentioned in the article or not.
Well, it was a week or two ago. It was actually a pretty glowing article. It was one of the large articles that they print on Sunday.
Yeah.
On the
I didn't happen to see that.
Yeah. Anyway, so predictably, yesterday or the day before, Joe Lamp writes a letter to the Sun decrying the whole program. And
Joe Lamp can kiss my rear end.
Well, that's what I thought.
Okay. I mean, let's just put it that
crazy.
Way. Look, let me tell you something. Joe Lamp called here, and I know he listens. And, Doctor, if you're listening, you can kiss my butt. The guy calls up here one day and wants to debate me about the bear season. And you may or may not have heard this show. Some of our listeners may recall it. Some may not. It's been a number of years ago. And I said, you know, it's very simple, Joe. We were talking about, you know, bear attacks and things like that. And I said, it's only going to be a matter of time before somebody gets hurt by a bear in Western Maryland. And I think there were some kids that were hurt and one child was killed, I believe in New York or New Jersey. I can't remember. But I said, you know, to Joe, I said, Joe, answer this question. Which is more valuable to you? Which is more important, the life of a child? Let's call it a six-year-old girl or the life of a black bear. And he wouldn't answer the question. And I said, you know, which is more valuable to you, the life of a pig or the life of a child? And he wouldn't answer the question. And we got down to the point where, you know, what's more valuable, Joe, the life of a deer tick or the life of a child or whatever, you know, whatever the debate was. And he wouldn't answer the question. So here we are. This is this year at the Wildlife Stakeholders Meeting I happen to attend. There's Dr. Lamp. He's retired from the Wildlife Advisory Commission. In my face because I wouldn't let him on the air. And I mean, in my face. He got up on his tippy toes and, you know, stuck his jaw out and was pointing his finger in my face that I was unfair to him and that I controlled the microphone and I was afraid to have an honest debate with him about the necessity of having a bear season in Maryland. And I said, Joe, I'd have had that debate. All you had to do was answer the question. Oh, yeah, you cut me off. I said, no, Joe, you didn't. I didn't cut you off. You cut yourself off because you wouldn't answer the question. So to answer Joe Lamp, whatever his opinion is, I'm against it.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, well, it's pretty funny if you read the go on the Sun online and read the read his letter and then read the comments, and it's predictably the same.
The Hunter bunch.
Some writing in all caps.
Oh, yeah, of course. I call that screaming in text.
Yeah, screaming in text.
So yeah.
It was pretty predictable.
But to tell you something about the Operation Second Chance, just in case anybody's listening and has any idea, the Purple Heart 3D bow shoot takes place tomorrow for you 3D bow hunters. You can register from 9 to 11 at the Heart of Maryland Bow Hunters, and that's at 7930 Henryton Road in Marriottsville. It's $15 for the public to shoot. It's free for current or retired military. It's a 30-target course, and you can get more information from Billy Dove at 301-639-4101 if you want to call Billy. He can help you out, 301-639-4101. 639-4104 for anybody who was interested in shooting a 3D course tomorrow at out in Marriottsville. So, good group. They do a lot for the troops. They take them all over, not only here in Maryland, but they take them all over the country, turkey hunting, boar hunting. They do take them fishing and that type of thing. And they Cody Kittleman, son of Senator Kittleman, Robert Kittleman is very generous in the use of his property out there for helping out the wounded warriors and some good guys out there. I think they've got a dove shoot coming up here soon, too. So appreciate you bringing it up, Tony.
Good deal, Alan. Thanks. I love your show.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. And just in case Joe Lamp didn't hear me say it, kiss my rear end. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Well, let me share my thoughts with you. I was just happened to think, just since the caller brought up Joe Lamp, Dr. Joe Lamp, former member of the Wildlife Advisory Commission, I had a random thought there that I was thinking, and I may have said it out loud, but since I was thinking it, I'll share it with you. Joe Lamp, kiss my rear end. All right, let's continue on. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. If you'd like to call and comment on anything that you've heard, I'd love to hear from you. Any talk about our if you'd like to talk, if you missed it last hour, I started to muse a little bit that we may be looking at another drive to increase hunting licenses here in Maryland. I understand the reasoning for that. I also understand the reasoning of the hunters who would oppose that. And it has nothing to do with whatever I say. It has nothing to do with why people are opposed to the increase in hunting licenses. People think that we should get increased public funding. People think that, why doesn't this state put some money into it? I agree with you. There was one budget item that was funded this year by the public, by the taxpayers, and that was the venison donation program. $248,000 went to the farmers and hunters feeding the hungry to finance their venison donation program here to feed the hungry in Maryland. And that was it. That is not in the 2013 budget. That was in the 2012 budget. There is $0 of public funding in the budget for the Department of Natural Resources. Now, you can't just point to the administration. You have to point to the General Assembly. And in the General Assembly, there are a number of members who belong to the Maryland Legislative Sportsmen's Caucus, who are the ones that fight for the rights of sportsmen, gun owners, hunters, and fishermen here in Maryland. These are the guys who are sportsmen themselves for the most part, or have a large sportsman's constituency, perhaps, let's say, Western Maryland, west of Frederick and West, so to speak, and the Eastern Shore. These guys claim that they fight for sportsmen in their area. I have seen that in action. I have seen delegates like Wendell Beitzel go to the mat for sportsmen. I have seen others who talk a good show who just bail at the first hint of any kind of controversy or any kind of thing that would, that would cause them to lose one constituent from the green side of the equation. So, from Cumberland, let's say. But That being said, there are plenty of good sportsman-oriented delegates out there, but they continue to be influenced by people outside of our state, and they don't necessarily understand our issue. There are also people who claim to be, you know, standing up for the working man, you know, and they are annoyed by the efforts of the funding arm of the caucus, the Sportsman's Caucus, which is the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation. They accuse them of living high and living large and, you know, not speaking for the everyday sportsman. Your opinion is welcome. 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number. My name is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and we'd love to hear from you. Hey, what do you think? Should I go on the Internet with this program? There's another question. If you'd like to comment on the hunting license thing, I'd love to talk to you about it. If you want to talk about what I should do with the radio show, should I go on the Internet? There's an Internet network out there for outdoor sportsman shows or for fishing and hunting shows. They've invited me to become part of the network, and I'll be out on the World Wide Web even to a greater degree than we are right now on the podcast with at ellisoutdoors.com. What do you think? Should I do that? And the other part of that equation is that these folks own a network, not necessarily affiliated with Outdoorsmen, but with another venue. But they're looking to put a Outdoorsman channel on Sirius XM, satellite radio. So, should I? Should we put this show on Sirius XM if it comes to that? What do you think? 922-6680, 800-922-6680. Time for me to tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, we have 80 different divisions, 60 species of fish in freshwater, saltwater, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify for fishing citations here. And there are about 1,000 of them that have been registered already this year. And another part of that fishing challenge is not only the citation program, but the Diamond Jim Challenge as well. And we've got 5 or 6 Diamond Jim fish have been caught, tagged fish that have been caught in Chesapeake Bay and are entered to win various prizes. But it is time, close to ending time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It lasts through Labor Day. And all you have to do is go fishing. I mentioned the different species, you know, 80 different categories, 60 different species, and you could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even maybe a vacation from the World Fishing Network. Stop by your local fishing citation center if you catch a fish, and for more details on the fishing challenge, or you can go online to www.dnr.maryland.gov. You can go on my website, ellisoutdoors.com, and click on the Maryland Fishing Challenge button for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring, as we mentioned, Lefty Cray here, a legendary fly fisherman from Maryland. Again, that website, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Hey, we missed him last hour, but we'll tell you about him this hour, and that's Sean Mann. Sean Mann, yes, indeed, legendary waterfowl hunter here from Maryland's Eastern Shore. World goose calling champion in 1985 and champion of champions since then. He's developed a call called the Eastern Shoreman. It's a long call capable of reproducing all the sounds of a Canada goose. I have him. I have one, and I have a number of his calls, and so do millions, well, tens of thousands, let's put it that way, of sportsmen here in Maryland. I mentioned a hunt last fall when we were duck hunting, and we heard some geese coming. So everybody ran to their waterfowl bag to get their goose call, and they were all Eastern Shoremen, 5 or 6 of them. It was pretty funny to watch that. But if you're a veteran waterfowler, you know about Sean Mann calls. More world championships have been won with the Shoreman or the other model, the Shorty, a short reed call, than any other. If you're a novice or just learning to call, well, the Eastern Shoreman is easy to operate, and soon you will be calling like a pro. Visit the website, www.seanmann.com, to view all the varieties of all the Sean Mann calls and hear how they sound and learn the history of the long call revolution. Sean Mann's from Easton, homegrown on Maryland's Eastern Shore, and you can call his office at 800-345-4539, 800-345-4539, or log on to seanmann.com. Stop by your local waterfowl dealer, and you can see all the calls, too. Ask them how to use it. The Sean Mann Eastern Shoreman. You'll enjoy learning how to use an Eastern Shoreman goose call. Geese, on the other hand, probably won't.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Are you looking for the truth? Find it every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors. Eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learned more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunk, well, hell, I still had a good day. If I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch a bobber go floating away.
All right, here we go. Let's talk to Bill in Essex and then Don in Sioux Creek. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Question first. I'm getting ready to go ahead and purchase a new deer rifle.
Okay.
I want your professional opinion. I'm looking maybe 270 or 30-06. Going to be doing, you know, 100 to maybe 200 yard shots. What do you recommend on that?
I'll tell you what. I fell in love with my 270 30 years ago. And I shoot 140 grain bullets out of it. I've got hand loads. And I am deadly accurate with that thing out to 250 yards. I've actually taken three deer with it with factory ammo at 400, 425, and 435. And, you know, I don't know where you hunt, but I've killed sika deer. I've killed whitetails from, you know, Cecil County to western Pennsylvania. And if you're a whitetail or somebody who's hunting a deer-sized animal, it's a great gun, no question
right.
about it.
I probably wouldn't be hunting anything bigger than, you know, your average place. I'm hunting up Frederick.
Yeah.
I'll be hunting up.
Sure, sure. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's a great caliber. I mean, 30-06 is good, but, you know, it can kick you. They're a little bit loud depending on the ammunition that you use. But then again, you know, if you want to take it on a bear hunt, if you, you know, sign up for the bear program, you know, you got something a little bigger. You can kill a, you know, an elk or moose with it if you want. You know, it's a very, very 30 caliber is an all-around good caliber. However, if I were buying a 30 caliber rifle, I would probably buy a 300 Winchester short mag. And you might want to look at that 270 short mag as well.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to buy, if you're going to upgrade, and this is going to last you the rest of your life, you may as well step up to the Magnum caliber as well. So the 270 short mag, the 300 Win short mag, or 300 short mag, they're all good calibers.
All right, and earlier this morning,
just don't go too light. Don't go anything less than 25 caliber. I mean, if you're gonna, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, a 257 Weatherby mag or 257 Roberts or, you know, a 25-06, they're all good guns. I for deer hunting, 243s killed a million of them, but I'm probably a little more interested in killing the game outright and then drilling a little short hole through it.
Yeah, that definitely won't reach the 270 minimum.
Yep,
so.
Yep.
And this morning you were asking about, I work for a transportation authority, and you were asking about our diesel fuel and whatnot. We do strictly use biodiesel for on road, off road, everything we have is, none of our pumps are anything except biodiesel.
So. Clean diesel, huh? Biodiesel. How expensive is it?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I mean, I don't know what they pay for it, but I fill up the state highway, you know, administration buildings or transportation authority, no matter where I fill up, everything in the state is biodiesel. So
I can't imagine the fuel charge on that. I just can't imagine it.
I can't either.
So I mean, you know, regular diesel's $4 a gallon. I can't imagine what biodiesel is. Does anybody know? I'm asking our general listeners what the price of biodiesel is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. It's,
Maybe Brian will Google it for us. Price of biodiesel. So, all right, man. I appreciate it, Bill.
Right.
Thanks for the call. Glad I could help. All right.
Bye.
Hey, look. Are you what kind of gun are you considering? Are you considering a bolt action?
Yeah, bolt action for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of good ones out there, and I mean, if you can afford a custom gun, that's good. But if not, most of your off the rack 270s are in good shape. I particularly happen to like the Ruger myself.
That's what I was thinking.
Yep, that's a great gun. That Ruger's a great gun. I got a couple of them. So
yeah, I have a 223.
Yep. Yep. Good gun.
All right, thanks.
All right, man. Thank you. See you. Bye bye. There you go. Don in Sioux Creek. What's up?
Morning, Alan.
How are you?
This is Don down in Sioux Creek. I listen to your show every Saturday.
Oh, I appreciate that. What's up?
And I'm having a fox problem.
What kind of problem?
He killed one of my roosters last week.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and he just comes all around these houses. I'm in a development down Sioux Creek. And
mm-hmm.
I called animal control. They transferred me over to...
You're going to need to call an animal damage control person. Animal control's not going to come out and do anything. They're dogs and cats. So you're gonna have to either call natural resources or go online and look for animal damage control specialists.
I called natural resources.
Yeah,
they told me hire a contractor.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. An animal damage control contractor, somebody who can come in and trap that fox.
Yeah, and well, that would be costly.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unless you want to learn to do it yourself.
How could I do it myself? Set a trap for him?
Yeah, you have to learn how to set a trap for a fox.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, that's the only thing I know to tell you. I mean, unfortunately, you've got bait there for them. You've got a food source. You've got chickens. And they're going to hang around there. Now, not my neighborhood. I hear them during the breeding season. I see them occasionally. I hear them, you know, in the spring. I hear them yipping and yapping in the wintertime. In the spring when they're breeding, going through the yard barking at each other. But I don't see them usually from now till probably November, December. But, you know, so I don't worry about them. Now, I've trapped my own raccoons, my own groundhogs and things like that with a humane trap. But as far as setting a leg hold trap for a fox and dispatching it, haven't gotten to that point yet.
But so, these fox, they're regular customers coming around the houses. I see them every night.
I got you.
I seen him 10 after 5 this morning. My wife left the front porch light on.
And there he was, huh?
And he was in the shadows trying to get up on a porch.
Nice.
And I took my finger and just rubbed the screen, and he took off.
Yeah. Well, I think what I would probably try to rub the screen with would be, a load of number 4s.
Yeah, well, I can't shoot in this area, you know.
I do know. Yeah, I understand.
Too close.
Yep, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
I have a 410, but I couldn't shoot in this area.
Yeah. Well, I'll shoot my little .22 with CB caps at some critter that's coming up on the porch.
Well, I couldn't get a shot at him. He moves too fast.
Yeah, I hear you.
Least little sound or anything.
Well, the question you have to ask yourself is either you want to hire somebody to take him out permanently, and they may wind up catching 4, 5, 6, 10 of them.
Oh, yeah, look. I got a woods behind me.
Well, then you're either going to have to learn to live with them or put your chickens in at night. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, but they're a nuisance.
They are.
This old rooster, I had him. He was a bandy rooster.
Oh, yeah.
I had him for 10 years. He come from Key West, Florida. He was an Ernest Hemingway rooster.
Really? How about that? Yep.
And he didn't have anymore.
He didn't have six toes or anything, did he? Like Ernest Hemingway's cats.
But he used to be able to fly up in the trees. You know, he'd fly like a pheasant.
Right.
But
usually a bandy can outrun him.
No, not 10 years old. He was too old.
Yeah.
That fox too was tough, too slick.
Too tough to eat, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this.
But my neighbor, they seen when the fox got the rooster.
Yeah, well. Unfortunately, other than hire a contractor and pay the money to get rid of them or learn to do it yourself, one of the two. And then once you catch them, you know, you got to dispatch them. So that's up close and personal, too.
Could I borrow a large trap, a fox trap, from somebody?
You could borrow one. I'm sure you could. I don't know if you'd catch a fox in a box trap in a humane.
No, not a box trap. It would have to be have a heart or something like that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, a live trap.
Yeah.
You probably could. I don't know if you could
get. I get one from?
I don't know if you can get. Well, leave your number, Don. Let's see what I can do for you.
410.
No. Brian will pick your number up, pick you up. Just stay on hold, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, Alan.
Yep. Yeah, I got some trapper buddies that would come out and do it, but, you know, everybody charges for their services. That's just the way it is. So, yep, that's what happens. Hey, I want to tell you about Tochterman's downtown Baltimore. You know, they've been a sponsor for a long, long time, and you've heard me talk about them many times. And I'm going to continue to tell you what they've got. They've got over 1,000 fishing rods on display and 700 fishing reels that you can touch and hold and, you know, twirl the handle and feel how smooth they are. But I want to tell you a little bit about some of the services that they do. They'll replace guides on your rods, tips on your rods. They'll do reel repair. They do reel cleaning. They do a real great cleaning job. If you have a high-priced reel or even a medium-priced reel and you want it operating at peak efficiency, take it in. They'll do a high-tech cleaning on it. They clean all the grease out of it. They use ultrasound to clean everything out of it. And then they replace all that old nasty stuff that's got sand and dirt in it with brand new lubricants, state-of-the-art stuff. And you will not be able to comprehend the amazing difference that a good clean reel makes when you take it, you know, when you get it back from having cleaned at Tochterman's. But also want to tell you that they have great staff there too. They've got, if you want to talk about bass fishing, talk to Gene. You want to talk about fly fishing, talk to Joe. You want to talk about offshore fishing, talk to McCabe. You want to talk to travel, talk to Jim. You want to talk to anybody about anything particular, they are very knowledgeable. They're extremely knowledgeable, and they can help you every step of the way to select fly tying materials or tools to get you started in fly tying. If, you know, you want to make your own jig heads or your own lures, they've got a complete second floor dedicated to that. Again, they've got all the standard tackle for bay, bass, bottom fishing, offshore, surf casting, you name it, they've got it. Striped bass, everything, anything, all types of lures, all types of terminal tackle, and they've got the greatest, greatest bloodworms you could ever buy anywhere, anytime. I'm telling you. Tochterman's, where's this place located? It's downtown Baltimore, 1919 to 1925. Eastern Avenue, Fells Point, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway, right there on Eastern Avenue. You'll see that big neon sign. If you get down there in the evening, it's a sight to behold. It's got a great big bass on it, and their name, Tochterman's, a big old bass eating a red and yellow fly. So it's pretty cool. Tochterman's fly fishing, Tochterman's tackle store, something for everybody. All fishing all the time. Yeti coolers, Costa Del Mar sunglasses, all kinds of rain gear, waders, hip boots. Give them a call, 410-327-6942 for Tochterman's. Same family name, same location since 1916, 410-327-6942. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. A lot of television entertainment is available from over-the-air signals, YouTube, and Netflix, and some viewers are deciding the money they're spending on cable can be better spent elsewhere. Second quarter results indicate publicly traded cable, satellite, and phone companies lost around 200,000 TV subscribers in the April to June period. That's not a huge loss, but prior to 2010, the pay TV industry never saw a quarterly subscriber decline. The latest numbers won't conclusively settle the debate over the impact of competition from less expensive internet-based TV services, but a sustained decline would have ramifications not only for TV providers, but for TV channels that get a share of subscribers' fees. The pay TV industry is hoping for better numbers in the fall. Industry analysts say the second quarter is traditionally a weak period because many college students disconnect their service before the summer break and reconnect when they return to campus. I'm Joan Jones with the Wall Street Journal.
Jay with SafeLight Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle, so when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game six times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series three times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The number one name in cable news is now on your radio.
Fox News, fair and balanced.
Every hour on the hour.
Now on the most powerful names in talk.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
County. Good morning, Phil. How you doing?
Morning, Alan. Doing
hey,
well.
How you doing, Reverend?
All righty.
What's up?
Well, I'm just up here at up in Blandair getting ready for our archery qualifications for our suburban, our parks deer management program. So
right.
I've been listening to you as I'm driving along. I figured now that I'm off the road here, I could sit and chat with you a bit about suburban deer management.
Let's talk a little bit.
All righty. Hey, there's still a lot of deer in the suburbs here in Maryland.
No kidding.
I don't know how well some people understand the environmental damage that these overabundant deer herds are causing, which is, what really got us doing this program. You were mentioning Joe Lamp a little earlier in your program.
Yes, and as you may have heard, I invited Joe to kiss my rear end.
I heard something to that effect.
Yeah. That's nothing that would come out of your mouth, but, so anyway.
All that aside. Yeah, when I say we,
suburban deer managers.
Those of us who are looking to manage white-tailed deer in the suburbs where they've become overpopulated.
Right.
We've been accused of doing all these things just to... boost hunting opportunities, get out there and kill more deer ourselves just because we're bloodthirsty savages.
Exactly, sure.
It's kind of a characterization.
Right. You're in Howard County, right?
Well, as I say, it's this kind of thing has been happening around.
We've got Anne Arundel, we've got Montgomery, we've got Howard County, but the citizens of Howard County and Montgomery County, where there is managed deer hunting, understand that between the two counties, we've had almost 5,000 deer vehicle strikes.
We average here in Howard County. We average here between 1,100 and 1,200. Deer vehicle collisions per year. That's just tracking documented dead deer on the side of the road.
Right. The latest deer report shows
by the contractor for the county or by State Highways Administration on the state roads in the county.
Yeah, the 2011-2012 deer report shows Howard County killed 2017 in that 2011 period on Howard County roads.
And so that's a serious need for management. And,
yep.
And we've tracked that data all the way back to think 1991 is the earliest I have data for, and you know, it was a geometric increase all through the 1990s. It was just skyrocketing through the 1990s from, you know,
right,
a number of around 100 up to, as I say, 11 or 1200 per year according to our data. And since then, which is about the time we have been doing our managed year program in the county parks, since then it's at least leveled off.
Sure.
It's still very high. It's a lot of dead deer. It's a lot of damaged cars. Some injuries, you know, there's been, in the time I've been keeping track of it, one fatality in Howard County that I know of that's attributed to a deer collision.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a serious issue.
The environmental damage is where you were going with that before I interrupted you.
That's a, yeah, and you know, we've got places in Howard County natural areas where there's virtually nothing left in the forest undercover area. You know, that realm from ground level up to about 4 or 5 feet.
Where as high as a deer can reach, where you can see straight through the woods, and you wonder why there are no bushes, why there are no chipmunks, why there are no birds, why there's nothing there other than treetops and tree trunks.
Right. Every acorn that falls to the ground,
yep,
is either consumed in the fall or early winter when it's an acorn, or you know, when it sprouts as an oak seedling, it gets consumed in the spring or early summer.
Right, exactly. Yep. But now, how many years have you been doing the program, Phil?
We'll be going into our 15th year.
Really? 15.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many years I've been there. I don't think I was there the first, maybe the second year, but I've been with that program for 12 or 13 anyway.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I think maybe you came in the second year, but
very possible.
Almost all run of the program, and you've taken a good number of deer for us.
Well, I appreciate that. We do have what?
I said, so do I.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, but as you know, as over those past 13 years or however long it's been, you can actually see the change in the structure of the forest, you know, from one year to the next. You know, now you're starting to see where you're on the parks where the deer are more controlled, and the population has been at least leveled out or reduced. You can start to see some of those little critters coming back. You can start to see some of the underbrush starting to grow because, you know, the herd is starting to be in balance. Now, just for our listeners, compare what normal carrying capacity is for, you know, per acre, 100 acres, 10 acres, you know, 10 square, whatever, however you break that down, as opposed to what some of the numbers are in some of the Howard County parks that you've overflown and actually counted deer. Now, I understand one of our callers said the FLIR unit has been used for finding marijuana plants and things like that. That's a function of state police, not necessarily Department of Natural Resources. But you guys early on did some flyover stuff and counted deer with the forward-looking infrared radar. And tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. And we continue to do that. We're supported now by the Howard County Police Aviation Unit. But we fly over the parks with this infrared video camera mounted underneath it in the wintertime, when warm deer are most readily spotted against the cold background.
Of course.
And then we count the deer we see on the videotape. And since we know the area of the park we fly, or we can actually enter into the GPS unit in the helicopter, we can enter a grid pattern so that we know the area we're flying. We come up with a count of deer from the videotape, and that gives us, we use deer per square mile as our standard indicator of deer density.
Right.
And to give you the base information first, mainly work Dave DeColesta did up in Pennsylvania and some of the national forest lands up there. Forest ecologists have come up with a density of about 15 deer per square mile, 1.5 deer per square mile.
Okay, that's the carrying capacity, basically. A good balance.
That's above that density in forested habitat. The deer start to consume more than the habitat is producing.
Okay.
And of course, they've got preferred species, and that's the stuff that starts to disappear first.
Sure.
And when you get into a patchwork like we've got in the landscape here, where you've got ag lands and so on, a density that's a little higher than 15 could be supported.
Because the deer travel in and out of the forested area, they feed on some of the agricultural crops, some of the landowner stuff in the yards and that type of thing. So
yeah,
there's a little bit more of a base there for them to feed on.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we're talking 15, 20. You know, I'd be happy with 25, 30, 35 deer per square mile if I could get there. But we've had, and I'll go for the shock value first. And
sure,
I'll
please.
You know, we've had the highest density that I can recall in over 10 years of doing these was 548 deer per square mile.
Wow. That's where I want to hunt next time.
You've been here.
Oh, I've been here. Okay.
of course, those deer, like you said, they spread out into the suburban neighborhoods at night to feed and that kind of thing. So,
right.
It's not a full square mile. That's extrapolating out from 200 acres. Basically.
Sure.
But nonetheless, on average, in our surveys, we do somewhere between, let's say, 10 and 15 square miles of ground every year when we do our surveys.
Right.
We're finding over 45 deer per square mile quite commonly, and as high as 65 deer per square mile on average. From one year to another.
So you're basically 3 to 4 times the recommended carrying capacity.
Yeah.
And it's
exactly.
And it primarily is because there's not a lot of access to properties that carry deer. You're talking about county parks now. The tremendous amount of agriculture land in Howard County, a lot of it is closed to hunting just because of farmers that have a bias against hunters or a fear of hunters and high powered shotguns, in their neighborhood, and you got the kind of the hotbed there of anti hunting sentiment in Montgomery County is the epicenter of the world, but Howard County is kind of one of the rays of sunshine there that the animal activists who are against any and all hunting are somewhat vocal in your county.
They're definitely vocal. Everything we've done to tap into, the demographics of the county has indicated to us, though, that they're definitely a minority.
Right.
We've done a couple of different surveys over the years by, university institutes that stake their reputations on doing things properly and scientifically. Most recently by the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and they found that 83% of the people responding to that telephone survey they did support and recognize managed hunting as a viable means for managing the deer herd. 83%.
Is that study available?
It's posted on the county website, and
Baltimore County website or
no,
Howard County website. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Send me the link on that when you get a chance. That'd be cool. Yep. 83%, which means 17% are not hot about it.
Yeah, and that 17%, of course, most of those 83% aren't necessarily hunters.
No.
They support hunting as a management tool.
Exactly.
17%, they're not hot on it, and some of them are hotly opposed. I'm quite sure, but nonetheless, clearly the majority of the county residents.
It kind of points out the thing that we say as hunters, and most people don't understand. If 10% of the population hunts and 10% of the population is vehemently opposed to hunting, it's that 80% in the middle that you have to have look upon hunting as favorable. That gets you permission to hunt deer and gets you get you favorable notice. The 10% you'll never convince. The 10% on one end will never convince the other 10% on the other end. But the 80% in the middle is the battleground.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, and it's, it's a battleground. You use the term battleground, so I'll just say this. You know, we don't want to fight those people at all.
No, it's not a fight. It's just yeah. that, as you said, 83% of the people are not opposed to hunting. They understand it, and you know, as long as you don't drag a bloody carcass across their property, or you know, go into the restaurant with blood up to your wrists, and you know, sopping wet boots tracking into the restaurant. They look at hunters as a fairly useful management tool, if that's the only way they look at us. So,
yeah.
You know, so I mean, and we've had some of these conversations before, but yeah, most people understand the need for hunting. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yes, sir. Well, good, man. I appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
Any other points you would like to cover?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that as I pulled in here to this park where we're doing our archery qualifications this morning, I've seen about 15 deer, roughly.
Yeah.
One looked like one decent shooter-sized 8-pointer.
That's nice. Yep.
Yep.
Good. Now, where are you today?
We're at Bland Air Park.
Bland Air, okay. And how long are you there today?
Be here... as long as I've got archers coming out to qualify for our program. And this is not, this is just for, you know, for...
Howard County program.
People planning to bow hunt in our...
Right. Well, that's why I'm asking, so. All right, very good. Appreciate that. Phil, thanks for joining us. And your official title is?
Your project manager.
Howard County Recreation and Parks, Phil Norman. Thanks for checking in with us, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, hey, one other real quick, and it's sort of a plug for you, too. I've got your Maryland Hunting Quarterly here, and I'm sure some of the guys will be taking some home with them.
Yeah.
That means I'll need a few more for the hunter safety class we've got coming up in September.
Okay, we can handle that.
All righty.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Phil.
Take care.
See ya. Bye-bye. Always glad to get those magazines out in circulation. Yes, indeed. Maryland Hunting Quarterly, www.marylandhuntingquarterly.com. You can read the entire magazine online. You can see a giant list of advertisers there, but you can read all the ads and all the articles. We have an article on EHD. We have an article on the goose seasons, the proposals. We have an article on the early goose seasons there. We've got a number of articles on velvet bucks and you name it. It's in this fall issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly online, www.marylandhuntingquarterly.com. If you missed the Crab Magazine and the haiku that Sally wrote for us, well, you can see all that on MD, www.mdlovescrabs.com. You can click on there and read that entire magazine as well. We enjoy it when the folks hit our website. We don't charge anything for it as far as sponsorships or anything like that. We just put it out there for the consuming public if you'd like to check it out. Email address to me is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. ellis@ellisoutdoors with an S on the end, .com. You can listen to the podcast, the radio show, on ellisoutdoors.com. The entire list of podcasts is there, going back to like 2009 for every show that was available for podcast. We appreciate emails, and we do answer most of them. ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Time for me to tell you about Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. That's right. Take Route 100 all the way to the end, hit Mountain Road, head towards Gibson Island. 2.5 miles on the right-hand side, you'll find Fishbones Bait and Tackle next to Shell Station, 410-360-0573. Fishing and crabbing supplies, bait and tackle for both. And those great crab steamers, the last crab steamer you will ever have to buy, stainless steel, basket and lid included. Half bushel, bushel, bushel and a half sizes if you want to steam your own crabs at home. They've got the burners and everything else at Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Good and accurate fishing reports from Bud. That number again, 410-360-0573. Bayline Exit Glen Burnie. My buddy Bobby Hawkins will spray your truck bed, and you will be extremely happy with the job that they do. They've sprayed a lot of beds. They're very, very good at what they do. And the Bay Linex bed liner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, it just can't be beat. They're number one in customer satisfaction. They have a nationwide lifetime warranty. The Linex material you can do, the standard black, you can do do the shiny finish with the extra coating on it. You can do the Linex Extra with the Kevlar inclusion in that that matches your truck bed if you so desire. The mobile unit can come to your home, your farm, your job site and spray anything you need taken care of, your trailers, your underground tanks, your secondary containments, your walls, whatever you need done. Even they even have a application for floors called Aspartex for the floors in your new construction, your basement, your garage, whatever. They can take care of that for you, too, with a great durable finish on your floors. That is Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. And let me give you that phone number here. I was doing all that from memory. That was pretty good, wasn't it, from memory? What do you think? Where is my little cheat sheet here? Here it is, 410-789-0199, 789-0199 for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Visit them online at baylinex.com, baylinex.com. Bobby Hawkins is the man. Find out how you can get a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors. They'll take care of that for you. And we want to tell you one more time about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. 80 different categories, 60 species of fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the Chesapeake Bay to freshwater to the tidal rivers. You can catch them. There's a whole list there available on www.dnr.maryland.gov. Just click on the Fishing Challenge button. That's also available on ellisoutdoors.com. If you click on that button, that'll take you right to that particular website, that particular page on the DNR Fisheries website, and you can learn more about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. And don't forget about Diamond Jim. We've got five or six of them caught already. Some of them are imposters. We don't know if we have the real Diamond Jim caught or not yet. A couple of those folks are going to be interviewed and polygraphed this coming week. So go fishing. Catch a fish with a bright green spaghetti tag. You may just have caught a $25,000 Diamond Jim prize. Even the imposters are worth some money. Now, there's a bonus on Diamond Jim for August. Not only is he worth $25,000, six tackle shops have kicked in $1,000 gift certificates for a $6,000 shopping spree, and then there's a $4,000 pair of diamond earrings available from Zachary Jewelers. It all ends on Labor Day, and all you have to do is go fishing. Once again, that website is www.dnr.maryland.gov. And don't forget the great sponsors, Bass Pro Shop with the boat, motor and trailer, Bill's Outdoor Center in Western Maryland with thousands in fishing tackle, and a great fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network. Under Armour's even in the mix, too. So don't forget about that. Wow. My name's Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoor.